listening to the Bob Dukoe Show. All right, those of you listening to us here on WMUZ in Detroit, some big news has come out, obviously, that is being talked about across the nation, but we're certainly feeling it here in the Detroit area. Former mayor of Detroit, Kwame Kilpatrick, he has been sentenced now. He was just sentenced today. You ready? 28 years in prison by Judge Nancy Edmonds. And let's face it, I mean, racketeering, bribery, extortion, tax crimes, all kind of stuff. He's going to be behind bars for a long time. And we're going to talk about the legal aspect of all this now with certainly our legal expert here at WMUZ, Scott Goodwin of Goodwin & Shaska. Scott, thanks for being with us today.
Great to be here, Bob.
Thanks
Hope
a lot.
To help you out today.
Hey, are you surprised by this sentence? I mean, 28, I think 28 years was on the high end of what he could have received, but I'm not really sure. Are you surprised it was 28 years?
No, not surprised at all. You know, basically, Kwame could have gotten life in prison for this particular situation. And the sentencing guidelines actually said a minimum of 30, and the judge, the prosecutors recommended 28 years. And the judge went with basically 28 years as a minimum prison sentence.
Wow. Okay, so 28 years. So really then, 28 years was kind of on the low end of what he could have got. He could have got a lot more than this.
He could have, but around the country, this is one of the longest sentences for public corruption. In other words, I believe that the government looked at a case out of Ohio where there was another sentence of 28 years, and that's what they hung their hat on in this particular situation, because there has not been long sentences for public corruption, and I think this is sending a message to others in the public that if you play, you're going to pay.
You know, you bring up a good point that it is very common to take public figures and kind of give them lighter sentences. I think about like Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. You had Tom DeLay, of course, in Congress, although he's been now exonerated from that. But still, there is this tendency to say, all right, you're a public figure. You were serving the public. We're going to give you really on the low end. So in that regard, 28 years really is a lot higher than normal. Now, the news reports on this, they say that Kwame Kilpatrick was basically asking for mercy. He asked the judge for a, as he worded it, fair sentence. And I don't know. I mean, the judge says that he's really shown no remorse through this whole thing. And it doesn't seem to me that he's really owned up to what he did, although he did kind of claim to own up to it somewhat during sentencing today.
Yeah, it probably didn't matter today. Whatever he was going to say today, the judge had already made her decision based on the the pre-sentencing reports and the information she had reviewed that was, written by both the defense and the prosecutor in this matter. So she had her mind made up, maybe it was nice to see there was some remorse by Kilpatrick saying that it was time for the city to move on and to put this behind them, because it has been around the city's neck for a lot of years. And the corruption just, was, one of the pieces that brought down the city. No one's going to do business in a city where they got to pay somebody
right to
open a business. And that was part of the problem here. One of the things that I found interesting about this sentence is, when I went to law school, and this is probably 30 years ago right now, I remember my criminal procedure professor at the Detroit College of Law, Harold Norris, who's a very famous professor. The first question I got, we're in law school, we're all afraid to get called on, but the first question I was asked in law school was, if a police officer committed a crime or a public figure committed a crime, do you think that that person should get a lighter or a more stern sentence than the average person? And what people generally would think would be, well, maybe lighter because they are serving the public and they are, they've done a lot of good things. But the professor said, no, a tougher sentence, because they knew better, and there's a public trust, and they violated the public trust, and it sends a message for other officers and other folks that may be out there, public officials that may do wrong. And it was interesting that I think back to that moment in the beginning of law school.
It's interesting, because I'll I love it with you, Scott. I can kind of see both sides of that. I really can. Philosophically, that is a difficult question, I think, to answer, because truthfully, there is part of me that goes, no, public trust, you violated that, you operated a higher standard, therefore it needs to be tougher. But I don't know. Maybe it just means I would make a lousy judge, because there's also part of me that feels that sense of they did devote their life to public service, and yes, they went wayward, yes, they went wrong, but let's mitigate that somewhat with the fact that they devoted their life to public service. So I'm not saying I'm right to go that other way. I don't really know. I could see arguments both ways, I guess.
It is a tough call, but that's why we have federal judges, and that's why we have prosecutors, and clearly in this particular case, both sides were heard fully. The jury spoke. It is the justice system that we have. And obviously, you know, hopefully this will begin the healing, both for the city, both for Mayor Kilpatrick's family and himself. And everybody can move forward and get this, you know, taken care of so people can come to the city and can invest in our city. And they can know that they're not going to have to pay somebody to open a business.
You know, something you said earlier caught my attention as well, that you said this judge, you know, she'd already made up her mind what she was going to sentence, and so what he says at that moment really doesn't matter. Now, I know, Scott, your work there at Goodwin and Chesk and such, I know most of what you do is civil as opposed to criminal, but you got a lot of experience in front of judges, and so give me that sense. I mean, is that usually how it works, that when it comes to this point, the judge has already made up their mind, and doesn't matter what the defendant says, doesn't matter how much contrition they show at that point. It's like Charlie Brown's teacher. Womp, womp, don't even hear it. As soon as you're done, I'm given the sentence I planned. Or do you think they ever are moved by the level of contrition that somebody shows at that moment? And is it possible that the judge had decided, I'm going to give him 40 years, and since he went ahead and basically begged and apologized or whatever, is it possible? Do some judges do that?
Well, I think what happens with judges is they want the defendant, the accused, to take responsibility for their actions. Mm-hmm. If the weight is, you know, the evidence is overwhelming, and they continue to deny and won't take responsibility or show any remorse for maybe a crime that they committed, that's going to go into the decision that the judge makes. The judges are human beings, and you know every case is different. Every defendant is different. Every circumstance is different. And that's why judges do like flexibility in their sentencing. They want to not have mandatory sentences because they'd like to be flexible depending on the particular circumstances that take place. You know, in this particular case, we've got a city that's in bankruptcy now. We have people that are hurting on a day-to-day basis because they may lose their pension, their health coverage, and everything else that they work for. Good people that didn't try to play the system, that didn't take office and act corruptly and intentionally. And this man failed on so many moral levels. It's, you know, the stuff that came out in the trials and the stuff that's come out in the media, it's really shocking that this was going on. And it wasn't a long period of time that all this was happening.
Right.
And it's amazing how it all happened so quickly. And, you know, both on a personal level and a professional level, he failed. And the judge will take into consideration all information that's provided.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think it was a little too late. And if we all remember watching Kwame on TV when he gave that interview with his wife standing by him, you know, denying everything, it's really unfortunate that this occurred, and we don't like to see it occur. And he has kids,
right,
and he has a family, and, you know, prayers and thoughts are with everybody, but he really took advantage of the situation, and, you know, he's getting what he paid, you know, what he did.
Right. Final question, just less than a minute left. What happens with the city of Detroit now? Is this really now the final chapter and we can move forward in Detroit, or is it always going to be mired with that scar and perception of corruption?
Well, we hope that we're going to move forward, and we've got a new mayoral election that's coming up in the city in
right,
November. These are all opportunities to move forward for the city. I hope that There's no more corruption that's ongoing. If there is, certainly this prosecutor, Barbara McQuaid, who's done an outstanding job, will continue to look for that corruption and will bring charges if it's there. I think that there's we definitely are under a microscope here in the city of Detroit now. There's not going to be any more shady deals. People are going to be watching. We're going to clean this thing up and move forward. And there's some great things going on in the city of Detroit right now. And obviously Dan Gilbert and the Illiches and the private sector is out there helping. There's private security going on right now. And I really do think that the people of the city of Detroit want this to be over with, want to move forward. These are good, hardworking people, and they do have pride in their city. And this has shamed their city, and they want to move forward and take care of business. And I think it's a good start right now.
Sure. Well, Scott Goodwin, everybody. Goodwin and Cheska, and you know their number. We say it all the time, 1-888-GOODWIN. And our legal expert here as well for WMUZ for over a quarter of a century. And, Scott, we appreciate you chiming in. Thanks so much.
You take care, Bob.
Hey, you too. You listen to the Bob Duco Show. Go to our Facebook page. I welcome your comments there. You can also email me directly, bob@crawfordbroadcasting.com.